When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT and Sal back on the fan. Time to hit you with the crown topic of the day. And, of course, it's a twofer Monday. Well, you have both the Jets and the Giants, absolute embarrassments, one worse than the other. For me, the Giants was even worse yesterday, BT, because I've kind of resigned myself to the fact of the Jets season being over. But I thought the Giants, and I knew the Giants season was over, of course, a while ago, but I thought that they would win that game yesterday. And I was saying Friday, don't come back from Germany without a win, and they didn't. And now, as somebody who's been a Dable supporter, now, I think anything should be on the table. I would not fire Brian Dable myself. I still believe in Dable and Shane to a certain extent. I want to see it play out here. But the biggest problem to me is the owner. Like, if I were John Mara, I'd fire myself. One bad move after another. All the bad hires. Barkley, number two pick overall, kind of forcing Shane to sign Daniel Jones after the one-year aberration, getting to the postseason and winning a game. Then they let Barkley walk, kind of forcing the issue to draft Neighbors, which I thought was a mistake. One after another, which is why the Giants are where they are, a complete mess.
Yeah, they're unwatchable, and they stink, and they really are, they're broken is what they are. And the owner's going to have to come to the determination and see if he's got the stomach to run. Like, if this continues to be very bad, and I think it will be, there's going to be a lot of conjecture and a lot of, you know, hot opinions and strong takes. Like, he should not bring back Dable and Shane. Now, if he believes that they're the right men for the job, then you're going to have to swallow hard and deal with it. He did leave the door slightly ajar about a month or so ago at the Paley Center when he talked about this. We've hit that a lot. Used the word anticipate. Does not anticipate making changes, but did you anticipate going to Germany and losing to this team? The answer is no, which is why I always said, I want to see. I want to see what happens here. And what's happened is the Giants, you know, have the real Giants have bubbled to the surface, and they are really, really bad. Now, I almost think it's a good thing, because they would have won yesterday by a point or so. I think it would have maybe masked some of the deeper deficiencies that they have. Comparable to what I said about the Yankees, not that it's resulted in a championship, but a couple of years ago, I wanted the Yankees to bleed out so it would at least force some real introspective looks, a deeper look at who they are and what they're missing. And eventually they got Soto, and we'll see where it takes them this offseason. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for the Giants to continue to hit rock bottom. Number one, it gets them a better draft choice, which they need a quarterback. And number two, there's no false sense of accomplishment or where they really are. Where they are is nowhere, and that's all across the board in the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, the results may be better at the end of the year because they're going to have a higher pick. The guarantee's nothing. I mean, the Giants have had higher picks before, and they've screwed them up. And if it results in having the head coach fired, to me, that would be a disaster because they're going to be back in the same boat that they've been in time and time and time again. How many times are they going to go through these regime changes here? I mean, Mara's been the problem, and there's no way to fix that. So he's got to just let these guys do their job and get the hell out of the way. And by that, I mean, don't give them the, oh, boy, geez, I'm really going to lose some sleep if we lose Saquon. Oh. Or Daniel Jones, oh, we've done everything we could to screw this kid up. No, no, Mr. Mara, you've been wrong. How about this? Hire football people that you trust and get the hell out of the way and let them make the decisions. Then it's a lot easier to, like, do you think Joe Shane extended Daniel Jones, or do you think that a part of his extension for Jones was because of Mara?
Oh, I've always said Mara had influence there.
So then,
but I also don't know if they were looking as a couple of years ago, right, and coming off a good year. Yeah. And, hey, maybe we add this and we do that and we could expand another layer to Daniel Jones's game. I don't know where they were. But I know where Mara was. I don't know where they were. Nobody really does.
Me neither. So then how can we properly evaluate them if we don't know who's calling the shots? Whereas if they took a quarterback, we would assume that they picked that quarterback.
Yeah.
And then we could see if it failed or not. We know the owner has been talking about Daniel Jones. We've done everything we could to screw this kid up every year.
He says it.
It's the same thing.
Jets say it about their guys, too. But I don't just latch on to that. I also latch on to Deontay Banks playing disinterested football. You know, there's other things that, you know, I can evaluate and I can at least say to myself, all right, it's one thing to lose, but are you losing in a way that is at least going to give fans some belief that change is around the corner? And my answer right now for the Giants is no.
Yeah, I think largely, though, for the most part this year, they have been competitive in a lot of these games. Now, again, competitive doesn't mean anything. You got to win some of them, but I'm not looking at them saying, wow, there's no hope. They're lost like Adam Gase and the Jets, or even Olbrich and the Jets right now. I still do believe in Daboll. I think the biggest problem is Daniel Jones, and unfortunately, that's an issue that Mara started. So for me, it's with them. And then you mentioned the Jets, BT. I mean, another loss. They can't tackle. Same thing. Overpriced, overhyped, over-talked about defense, even the offensive guys, oh, bring in Davante Adams, oh, look at their running backs. They stink, although I would not put the blame on Aaron Rodgers myself. I think it's almost everything but Aaron Rodgers, but what more is there to say about the New York Jets than they're a total embarrassment and failure? And this year, there's no excuse like there was last year when Rodgers went down for the count early on.
And what makes it really tough for the Jets moving forward is that there's no real clean breaks. Like, it's one thing, not that it's fun, but it's one thing if you have just a trash roster and you're 2-15 and you lose every week by double digits, you get waxed. Like, there's no suspense in it. But, you know, you're picking one or two in the draft and everybody that you don't want is gone. The problem with the Jets is they're not good. They're not playing hard, and they're tied to guys that you don't want to be tied to. Do you really want to be tied to Davante Adams next year? I'd much rather less be tied to Aaron Rodgers, which is why I said earlier, I'm not bringing Aaron Rodgers back. I'm straight up, flat out. That's just my opinion. Like, if I owned the Jets, if I ran the Jets, I would move on from Rodgers. He's just not the same guy. But there's financial ramifications. I ran through them before. If you want to check them out, Odyssey free app, go find them. I laid it out for you. There's no real clean breaks, and that is a problem. You got a couple of high-profile, highly paid defensive players. You know, it's a mishmash, and this is what happened after years of futility. You throw up a Hail Mary in three or four different directions and hope it sticks. And right now for the Jets and the Giants, nothing's sticking.
Yeah, their organization is just broken. It's been broken for a long time. And to me, their biggest need is a coach. They need a real head coach who could get this talent in order, figure out what the weaknesses are, whether it's the lack of offensive line play, lack of committing to running the football, tightening up the deep, whatever it may be. Olbrich never had a chance. Saleh was not the right guy when he got hired, and he certainly should have been brought back this year. We said that in the offseason. They need a real head coach. I'd be willing to take a new head coach with Rodgers, assuming that the head coach would want Rodgers back next year.
Real quick, what's going to complicate this for the Jets, and we'll see what happens with the Giants, but you know, unfortunately, it's not too early to start looking at the tankathon. All right, who are you drafting and where are you drafting, right? So at least, you know, more specific, where are they going to draft? So, all right, so are they going to be in a good enough position to get a quarterback? That's the main question. The other question is the teams that are in front of them, and the Giants will have fewer teams in front of them than the Jets, but still, like, do they need a quarterback? So right now I'm looking at this, all right? The Jaguars are number 1 or 2 and 8. This obviously accounts for tiebreakers. Even though Lawrence hasn't been great, they're not taking a quarterback. Tennessee is going to be taking a quarterback. The Browns are going to be taking a quarterback. The Vegas Raiders are going to be taking a quarterback. The New Orleans Saints, if this thing continues to spin out of control, will be looking for a quarterback. Even though he won yesterday, I still think that Carolina very well might be looking for a quarterback. You know, there's just so many teams that are looking. The Jets, I think, should be looking for a quarterback. How are you going to get a quarterback?
Yeah, well, they could have drafted one this year. It's why, hey, the neighbors pick. Here's the thing. The idea of tanking, like, I get now why Giant fans would say, well, it doesn't matter if they win. It doesn't mean you root for them to lose, but then just don't
why
watch.
Not?
Well, you don't watch the games. Just don't watch the games. You're not going to sit there actively root against your team.
I've
what
done
good
it.
Is that? Yeah,
I've
but that's, you're wasting time watching
Man,
the game. You're
what else watching, are you going to do on a Sunday? Yeah, I mean, I've done it.
There's, I can think of a million things that I'd rather do than sit there and watch the team that I grew up rooting for that I am a fan of and root against them.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Okay, and how has that worked out?
It hasn't worked out well, but I got news for you. Also, when I root for them, it doesn't work out, so I may as well root for something different.
But it's just counterproductive. Like, I feel like if you're a fan, and we've had this conversation plenty of times before, if you're a fan and you're actively watching and rooting for your team to lose, you're not a fan of the team.
I disagree. That's ridiculous. There's no bigger Jet fan than me. But, and I root against the Jets. That's ridiculous.
But that's stupid.
Okay, you can call it stupid. That's what I do.
But
that's fine. I don't care. What am I going to do? Am I going to sit there next weekend?
Don't watch it then. Just say, oh, well, they were also
good. I'm going to watch them, of course. You know, I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to monitor the young kids. Like, there's always something to latch onto.
But then why would you root against them?
Because in my mind, and I think the mind of others, it at least opens up the window of opportunity to get better down the road quicker.
Right, and that got me to my point.
Yep.
How many times have the Jets and Giants had top overall picks the last, or maybe not the number one pick overall.
Like top 10 picks?
Yeah.
Way too often, multiple times.
And how's that worked out?
It hasn't worked out well.
Okay, so what's room for more losses?
No, but if you actually hire somebody who knows what they're doing, maybe that trend changes.
And how many different hires have the Jets and Giants had over
I know all the numbers, Sal. Okay. I know the teams, I know the names, I know the records, I know the history.
So then what good is rooting for the team to lose going to do when it hasn't worked in the last decade? All the Jets and Giants have done is lose. All they've had is top picks in the top 10.
So it's never going to change?
No, it's not.
How do you know
that's
that?
Not the answer. The answer is not, well,
what's the answer?
We have the number one pick. We have the number two pick.
But what's the answer? What is the answer, though?
Well, it's not that.
But you're telling me what's not the answer. What is the answer?
Hire smart people.
I'm all for it. And hopefully when you do that, it becomes the answer when they draft the right guy.
Understood. But you're again, not understanding what I'm saying or not listening to what I'm saying.
I do. I just disagree.
Well, how can you disagree when the facts are what they are?
No, they're your facts, not mine.
No, they're facts.
So
the Giants had the number two pick. Number two. Tankathon. Suck for this guy. Suck for that guy. They had the number two pick.
Yeah.
They took Saquon Barkley. They took a running back. So why are we rooting for a number one pick? What does it mean? It doesn't guarantee anything. The Jets traded up for their quarterback. What did it do? Nothing. Giants had a sixth pick overall. Daniel Jones, bust. Giants had a fourth pick overall. Andrew Thomas, how'd that work out? Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, Malik Nabers. Do we need to now do the Jets? Like, it doesn't work.
Let me ask you this.
There are no guarantees that having the top pick or tanking is going to work. Meanwhile, I'm not even referencing 1 year. I'm referencing a decade almost of bad picks.
Well, the first thing you don't do is draft the running back number two.
Right.
I can promise no matter who gets the job, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, or wide receiver number six when you have a million other needs.
Fair enough. I mean, it's worked out pretty well for Ja'Marr Chase and the Cincinnati Bengals since they got him. Not necessarily this year, but they've won a lot of games. Why? Because they have a quarterback who can make – listen, here's the thing. I give you, Sal, it doesn't guarantee anything. But when you calculate the odds, if we're both going for a great player, we'll just stick with the quarterback. I'm drafting fourth, and you're drafting ninth.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Who's got a better chance, theoretically, to have access to the better player? I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm closer to the top of the draft, which means I don't have to trade people to get there. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to pick the right guy. But that's the point.
Where did Denver pick in the first round?
Where'd they get there? Well, I don't know. What did it happen? Oh. 20? I don't even know where they picked them.
Me neither, but it was behind the Jets and the Giants,
but we don't know if he's going to be the right guy.
But how are they winning
with him? How many points did he score yesterday?
Did they
score 40 points that I missed? They scored 14 points.
How are they winning with Bo Nix?
They're winning mostly because of defense and great coaching.
Oh, great coaching.
Well, what's Bo Nix's stats?
Could the Jets so then maybe hiring a good head coach is better than tanking, just maybe.
Well, yes, that's why I'm saying the Jets and the Giants should both have new coaches.
Could they have each had Sean Payton?
I said they should. You remember I said that.
But fans weren't yelling, hey, go get this guy. What they're saying is, oh, let's tank. Let's lose. And the point is, a good head coach, a good organization can find players later. And you don't need a top pick to turn your team around. That's a bad misnomer. It could help, sure. But that you do not need that to turn your team around.
Well, listen, there's evidence that you're right. I mean, whether it's Montana or Russell Wilson or Tom Brady in round six, clearly, I mean, nobody even knew who Phil Simms was back right then coming out of Moorhead State. I get it.
The Jets, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Zach Wilson, names. Mekhi Becton.
Well, understood. Yeah. Now,
Sam Darnold.
Understood. We know all the names. Yeah. We know them all. Trust me, we know them all. Now, they picked a safety at six, and then round two that year, they picked a safety as well. Like, there's dumb, and then there's just straight-up moronic. And what the Jets and the Giants have done too often, whether it's a running back at number two or back-to-back safeties in rounds one and two, is just straight-up, unforgivably moronic. But it doesn't mean that the next guy is going to do the same thing. I know that Joe Douglas bombed. I know, and he's got to go. I know that Ulbrich ain't the guy. I think that Dable, I'm still not fully giving up on him. I'm not. But I don't think he's quite the answer that I thought that he was. So when you get to this point, I'll always do this. I don't care what anybody says. If there's not a way to get to the playoffs, I now root for losses. Now, I'm not saying, but let me rephrase that. I'm no longer rooting as passionately for wins. It's not like I get up and I put on the opposing team's jersey.
That I agree with.
You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. I just didn't think that I needed to say it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm rooting for outcome. I'm rooting for a bigger picture outcome.
Well, that was not my point to get on you about that stuff. Like, we could have a disagreement or whatever. At this point, I don't believe in tanking, but obviously there's no good that will come of the Giants winning meaningless games, okay? So we can agree there. I wouldn't openly, actively watch and root. I'd just rather not watch, and whatever happens, happens. My bigger point is that it guarantees nothing.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, but there's a lot of people who think that it does.
Well, but it does guarantee
that.
I don't want to get back down the same circle, but it does, this is my only point, it does increase the odds of having access to a better player.
Right, but
now you got to make the right choice.
But what's that based off of? Because I would say that statistically it doesn't. Based off of even just the Jets and Giants alone, they've had higher picks, but yet come up with worse players.
Understood, but I don't think taking the two of the more inept franchises and looking at their draft picks and trying to find the correlation of, you know, picking the right ones versus the wrong ones, they're probably not the right model. Hey, bottom line is it's the most inexact science out there, the draft. Who the hell knows, man? And I'm not watching college football every single snap on Saturday. I'm not. But I know, at least for me, the closer I am to the top, hopefully the more, you know, the odds that I get a guy who changes the future. And when you're with this team for as long as I've been with them and others, and now Giant fans outside of 2022, it's been a long, dry ride as well. I don't think it's a flawed concept. It's not for everybody, but I don't think it's a flawed concept. And really, right now, it's my only concept.
That's all we have,
That's
unfortunately,
all we got.
Both these teams. Yet again, it's the same crap with them every single year. All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. Take back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Jay is calling from Poughkeepsie. Obviously, we're talking about the Jets and the Giants. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the baseball offseason as that starts to heat up a little bit with the visits going out to see Boris and Soto with the Mets and Yankees, so a lot there. But today's a Jets and Giants day. Jay is in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Jay?
Guys, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Jay.
Suffering Giants season ticket holder. How much more of DJ do we need to see before moving on from him? Forget benching. How much more do we have to see? I feel like Dable not handling the benching will ultimately get him fired at the end of this year.
I don't know about that because of Mara's influence to retain Daniel Jones. So I don't know that they're connected, but I would have probably benched him at halftime.
We touched
yesterday.
On this earlier, BT, and maybe it's better to do a deep dive now. So do you think that Dable is making that decision based on ownership, meaning in-game? Or week to week?
No, I don't think so.
Me neither. So while I think that ownership had a big part of why they extended him, I don't think it's why we continue to see Daniel Jones out there, you know, week in, week out, and yesterday specifically in the second half. Now, Dable did counter that yesterday in the postgame and say, well, we did move the football better in the second half. So, like, I get that, but to answer the caller's question, I am done with it. My leash, my time watching Jones, it's over. I can't do it anymore. I'm not watching Daniel Jones attempt to play quarterback. I felt that way in the beginning of the year. I couldn't do that because we had to watch the Giants. The Giants are irrelevant. To your point, BT, I think most fans are, if they're not actively rooting for them to lose, they're going to be happy with the losses and get excited about the Giants maintaining a top pick and bring hope moving forward. It's not about the Giants' results anymore. We're beyond that. I just can't stomach watching Daniel Jones. And I'd actually be surprised at this point if they continue to run him out. What's the point?
There's nothing else to evaluate. I really don't know what the point is. I don't know. Unless what you have behind him is so substandard that you're going to look even worse, then maybe that's what Dable's worried about, where he thinks in his mind he spoke to Mara. And Mara, you know, I brought this up the other day to Sal. Like, maybe Mara said to him, hey, listen, no matter what happens, I'm rolling with you here. And don't listen to the papers, don't listen to the shows or the websites or all the clicks. You're good. And if that's the case, you know, maybe Dable is operating from a point that we're not incorporating into our mindset now. But if that's not the case, I got to try something different, because if I'm Dable, I've got to at least get to the point now where inwardly I think that there's a chance, at least a little teeny tiny chance, that I'm not back next season, and I got to try to change the mojo.
Right, which is why Mara needs to do something here, because the only reason why the Giants were playing Daniel Jones to start this season was because he gave them the best chance, clearly, of the quarterbacks on the roster, the best chance to win football games. Okay, that's why Daniel Jones was playing. It wasn't about the future. It was about, hey, well, at least from my opinion, I think that they were playing Daniel Jones because they felt he was the best quarterback and they want to win some football games. Well, now you can't justify that winning is going to be a good thing for this team. Unless Dable thinks that his job is somewhat on the line, maybe that's why he continues to go with Daniel Jones. Because, I'd love to see Tom and DeVito. Drew Lock, forget about. I'd love to see DeVito, and maybe they can win more with DeVito, but you got to believe that even though Jones stinks, he's still their best option to win games.
I would think so, but if I'm Dable and I'm thinking that way, and I think on some level you have to be, he sees him in practice, so I do. If it's bad, it's bad. I get that, but I would think that Drew Lock is the one guy who could be the transitional tool next year. Like, Jones will be gone. I don't think DeVito's the starter, so, I mean, find out what you got from Lock, and at least if he's competent and they move the football and they score a couple of points each week, then maybe you just, you know, you draft whoever you draft inside the top three, inside the top five, and you enter next season with that top five pick, and Drew Lock is your backup or starter to start.
But then that's why it's imperative that the organization get on the same page, and I don't know if they are, because let's just play this out. You're Brian Dable, and you don't know about your future.
Yep.
You heard the word that he used, I don't anticipate, but you also know that you just lost to the Panthers. You hear the cat calls. Everybody's starting to go nuts now.
Empty seats at home, 0-5.
Right. Okay, you're Brian Dable, head coach in the New York Football Giants, and there has been no assurance that you're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your starting quarterback?
I think I'm going to have to look for spark at this point, and I think I go to Drew Lock.
Interesting.
I really would. Because one thing Daniel Jones does not provide is a spark or a source of excitement or, you know, an outlet of energy for the rest of the team. I know that they respect him. I do. I know that they respect the way he puts his pads down and runs hard and a willingness to take hits, and he's gotten hurt a few times, and I believe he's diligent, that he's in the weight room, and he's in the playbook. And that matters. I'm not trying to undersell that. I do believe he checks those boxes, but I don't know. Do I think that Drew Lock could just more of a youthful, energetic presentation that might resonate more with some of the young kids? Maybe.
Job on the line going with Drew Lock. See, for me, as much as I despise Daniel Jones, and the results, like, Daniel Jones isn't winning, so why not try something else? And the answer to me would be like, I don't believe that these guys, now again, we don't know, we're not watching them, but I got to believe that Dable knows a little something about playing the quarterback position. So he's seeing that there's no way Drew Lock can help him win games or Tommy DeVito. Now, if you're Dable and you're coaching for your job, you're going to try to still win games. If the organization has a meeting and Mara says, look, I still believe in you, Joe, and you, Brian. What's best for the future of our team? And maybe they then say, look, winning at this point is not going to do us any good. It's not that we're not going to try, but maybe we go in a different direction now. We'll start DeVito or whatever. You want to see Drew Lock? Fine. Me, personally, I would rather go with DeVito. Drew Lock sucks. Like, we saw him play, and see, he's not any good. He's a career backup at best. So just whatever. Have some fun. Maybe give the fans some entertainment. You know that they would want to see DeVito. All while also acknowledging that you might not be in a better spot with DeVito or Locke to win football games than you would be with Jones, understanding that. Like, if Mara understands that the best thing for the organization might be to just play it out with somebody other than Jones and maybe lose games, then if I'm Dable, I would consider all options. But if you're coaching for your job, then maybe you go with Daniel Jones, still thinking that he might give you the best chance to win games.
Do you think that Mara, after he said the and used the word anticipate, do you think he went to them or at least went to Dable and kind of explained what he meant? Do you think or that just stood on its own merit?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they talk quite a bit,
I would think so. I mean, just the way they were portrayed in Hard Knocks seemed like they had a pretty decent relationship.
Yeah, I would think that they've had open conversation. I still don't know, though, if Mara's saying, like, hey, it's okay if we don't win. Like, it's okay if we finish 2-15 or whatever.
But is it okay?
I don't
know. If they finish 2-15? I mean, think about this. Should it be okay?
At this point,
I don't think it should be.
Well, let me ask you something. At this point, what do you think Giant fans would want? You think they want to finish with 3 or 4 wins or 5 wins or 2 wins?
I think most would prefer 2.
So then the owner should understand that, okay, we've already blown our chance to win some games this year.
Yeah.
Again, not that you try to lose and not that that's going to guarantee anything, but you could start to clean some things up here. If the head coach had firm ground to stand on. If he doesn't, then you could be pulling in different directions. I know, it's a mess.
It really is a mess. And same with the Jets situation. There's no clean break. There's no clear, absolute vision. I don't know.
I mean, the Jets are going to try to win games because
Oh, yeah, they're going to try to win, but their offseason is going to be a complete... you know what it is. It's just going to be a circus, man.
You can say it on the pod, but you can't
say it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Say a lot on the pod. Yeah, I get a little free with that. I don't know. I just think that the Giants, see, here's the difference with what the Giant fan wants, and I do think Giant fan wants to lose games to get the draft pick, but it's more personal for Mara. It's his team. It's his stadium, and you have either 20,000 empty seats or 25,000 opposing fans start coming in on the set because Giant fans are just second here, take 50 cents on the dollar, take my ticket, so I don't lose. Yeah, I'm going to lose money. I don't lose this, but I don't lose everything. And then all of a sudden... No, MetLife just resembles, you know, a very different feel. That the Giant fans can disconnect from that a little bit, even though it's bothersome. Mm. It's tough for the owner to do that when it's his family business.
Fair enough. So if the edict is then to win,
the edict is maybe to try to scratch out a couple of wins, and it shouldn't be.
Okay, and if that is the case, as much as I despise Daniel Jones, I still think of the three quarterbacks on the roster, he probably gives them the best chance to win. Cologne is calling from Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Cologne?
Hey, guys. Good show today. Hey, listen, you know, like, for a Jets coach, I was thinking, you know, I always like a coach that has some success. When he gets fired, he goes back to being an OC or DC, and earns his way back and becomes a head coach like Dan Quinn. So I was thinking about Cliff Kingsbury because he had some success in Arizona, and he's looking at a job. And if Rodgers comes back, I'm thinking, you know what, give him a shot because he'll bring up the talent in the offense at least for next year.
I mean, I think it's an interesting name to bring up, Cologne. Thank you for the call. That's one we possibly omitted, BT. Kingsbury. He wouldn't be my first choice, but, you know, he did have early success in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody likes to say, oh, well, look, the Washington had the second pick and they got Jaden Daniels, turned everything around. It's much, much, much more than that. And I think Kingsbury being brought in under Dan Quinn is huge in this spot, not to mention the other weapons that they have on offense. Washington has a good football team that they took the right quarterback, and he's taken them to another level, but it wasn't like they were barren and pinning their hopes on Jaden Daniels, and he just magically made them into a good football team. No, there's a lot more than that. Would you be open to Kingsbury as a head coach?
Lukewarm. He did play for the Jets for a minute. He's got a little Jet history there. Yeah, I mean, the modern offense and the modern NFL, the movement there offensively, it does appeal to me that the Jets could actually finally be on that page. I just feel like, and I know it's more of a feeling than something that's more that's tangible. I feel like the next person that is coaching the Jets needs to step up to that podium, and the resume speaks for itself. Now,
so that's not Kingsbury. I mean,
it's not really
offensive
Kingsbury.
Coordinator wise.
Well, I mean, as a head coach, that's why the Gruden aspect is somewhat appealing. On a much, 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 much lower level, Rex for some is appealing. He's been there. He knows the market. He had some success. Like, you got to bring in somebody who's done it. You just have to. What about Brian Flores?
I like it. But again, it doesn't have the resume that we're looking for here. Like,
that's somebody I might be willing to take a chance on, though. Maybe.
No-nonsense guy, for another opportunity.
He is from here.
I thought he was doing a good job in Miami, and who knows what went on with the owner there. I don't think the Jets would have the stones to do it. Doesn't mean it's the wrong move.
Still a lawsuit, too, right?
Probably.
Was that dropped? I don't know.
I like that name, though. I think it's a good thought.
Nobody's really throwing that out.
Yeah, but again, here are some... These are names that are like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, Flores, Vrabel,
Kingsbury. Try to trade for somebody? You try to trade for a coach? I mean, what? Not without precedent.
Who's out there that you want? Andy Reid? I mean, not getting him.
No, not Andy Reid.
Would you take Sean McVay?
Yeah.
You'd love that.
100%.
Can you get him from the Rams?
I don't think he's leaving Cali. He seems like he's a fit out there.
Come to the Jets and work for the Johnsons.
I know.
But this is where we're at. But I'm with you that no matter who it is, like even Vrabel, I'd be like, all right, I guess. Because at least there's some resume there.
Yeah.
Young enough. He seems like he's got command of a team. You know, I don't think he'd be intimidated by New York. There are some good attributes that Vrabel, and he has had some success in his first stop. And he's not a first-time head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's got minimum requirements are you have to have experience as a head coach before, which is why I like the idea of Kingsbury or Flores at least being open to those guys. They're not first-timers, coordinators, coming from the college ranks. I want a NFL-proven head coach to some degree.
And the fact that he's been on ice for a little bit here, he's had a chance to breathe, and he didn't just jump right back into the game. I mean, I usually work under the assumption that smart people learn from mistakes. I don't think he made a lot of mistakes with Tennessee, but I think Mike Vrabel version 1.0 was pretty good. I think 2.0 could be better.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Two things that bothered me from the Germany game, BT, that have nothing to do with the result of the Giants.
Let me guess. One, it was at 9:30, and two, it was in Germany. Besides that, nothing. What do you got?
Well, number one would be Rich Eisen. Yes. And I'm not trying to pick on Rich. He seems like a nice guy. I was a fan of his. But, like, enough, dude. He's not a good play-by-play guy. And all he cares about is the crowd singing the songs, whatever song that they're... Oh, isn't this
John
great?
Denver song.
Yeah, well, whatever. All the songs. There's a commercial.
Yeah.
It's not even that there was other songs that they were singing too. I forget them because guess what? I don't care about them. I'm trying to watch a football game. If I wanted to go to a concert or watch a concert, I'd do so. I'd put on the Billy Joel DVD or whatever I have. Like, I don't need, like, Rich, oh, Germany here, this is what they do. Not to mention his one-liners, hello, Newbin. Like, okay, dude, Seinfeld, you're a Seinfeld fan. Yay, congratulations. Like, nobody else makes those jokes. You're so funny. It's really, you chose the wrong profession, really. You should have been a comedian. Like, I mean, come on, dude. Should have been
a screenwriter.
Yeah, exactly. Just do the game. So that's number one. Like, he's more excited about, nobody here, I can assure you, nobody in America gives a crap where that game was being played, whether it's Germany, London, wherever it may be. I'm watching it because we care about the Giants and because it's on.
Yep.
It's a football game that's on. That's number one. Number two, I don't know if you saw this.
Mm.
Hoff was with the Giants in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And he's... Now, Hoff, I told you this years ago. Years ago, I tried to give you some advice on this. You pay attention to his social media?
Yeah, I see it.
He's doing these videos, which is a good idea, right? You should be doing videos. Yeah. You're in Germany.
Get yourself out there
Exactly. Sure. Get yourself out there. You know, get yourself on camera, whatever. Post these things. And he posts videos of himself while in Germany. And yet, I can't see Germany, but I could see directly up your nose. Dude, what is with your... When you're doing those self-videos or whatever it is, you got to come up with a better angle.
No, think about the strategy on that. It's so annoying that you have to watch.
No, it's so annoying that I want to throw my phone. I'm sitting here watching going, Hoff, what are you doing? I told you this years ago. Bad angle.
I take the opposite of Kevin Weeks. Whenever Kevin Weeks breaks a story, he does his eyes and above and whatever his backdrop is. And he says, Igor Shesterkin might be getting this type of contract. I do the opposite. I get my face and a little bit of whatever's behind me.
And it's all up the nose. I mean, it's a horrible... Dude, come on. You were second to Rich Eisen, though. I'll tell you that. He bothered me the most.
You get this on these other games here. It is what it is. And Kurt Warner's great, but, you know, he's not great with Rich. And they do this more and more. They take people who are studio, and Rich is a great studio host, but they just shove it down our throat or up our nose, either one.
BT and Sal, the Fan. Please change the angle. I'm begging you.
I said that to him this morning. He's like, nah, it's a good angle.
You don't really think it's a good angle, do you?
I think it's a good strategy for me right now.
Well,
it's I could see in your mouth and up your nose. I don't want to see that.
Someone complimented me that I don't have a lot of nose hair, so I feel good about that.
Well, one thing we'll know about this next time he's on a trip with the if he's ever doing any drugs, we'll know because it will be right up the nostrils. No, he's clean. He's good.
Ed is in Marlboro. What's up, Ed?
Eddie.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a Giant fan since the Polo Grounds, so I've been watching them a long time. I think the problem with the Giants right now is their general manager. I mean, look at the drafts he's had. Hardly any of the guys are still playing.
Joe Shane has not distinguished himself very much at all. He has not. He bombed on Neal and with Kayvon. And there's other examples of misses. And listen, a few decent hits for sure, but he has not had a powerful drafting history.
Yeah, but what's his few hits? I don't see them. I mean, I watch another game, another team, and all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, they drafted him in the third round. The guy's, you know, killing it, right? We never have that in our game. Yeah, they drafted him in the first round or whatever.
Well, I mean, look, the top picks for Joe Shane have not, and thank you for the call. Every general manager, and this is, again, this is only year three with him. Every general manager is going to have some hits and some misses. I saw Bobby Skinner, who does the Talking Giants pod. He's a huge Giant fan. I saw him tweet this out, and I thought it was an interesting thing to look at. Giants top 10 players in year three of Joe Shane. Now, this is his opinion.
Okay.
But he's as in tune with the Giants.
I can already tell you where he's going, how many were actually drafted by Shane.
Okay, or brought in. It's not just drafted.
True.
Okay, so Dexter Lawrence,
Gettleman. Not his, 0 for 1.
Andrew Thomas,
not
Gettleman.
Not his, 0 for 2.
Malik Nabers.
1 for 3.
Brian, and I still hated that pick. It's not Nabers, but I hated that pick. They should have taken a quarterback or trade down. Brian Burns.
2 for 4.
It's a Shane trade.
Yep.
Okereke. Shane,
3
Shane
for 5.
Free agency.
Yep, good sign.
Thibodeau. Shane draft. Now, you could argue with Bobby's take here, but... I mean, Thibodeau is, when he's healthy...
He's good. He's good.
The issue that you and I had with him is that he didn't live up to that elite top edge rusher status that you would take with the fifth overall pick or whatever it was.
Yeah,
that's the issue. It's not that he's not a serviceable
for sure.
Player.
No, it's not a whiff like Neal. No. Kayvon's got some real attributes. I wish he was a little more well-rounded.
Right.
But he's certainly solid. I mean, can you make a case he may be overdrafted based on his body of work so far? Maybe. But, I mean, he's good enough to at least justify to, yeah.
And either way, remember what this is. This is a list of one person. Now, again, he does a Talking Giants podcast. He's in tune with the Giants, diehard Giant fan, Bobby Skinner. Given his 10 top players overall, not draft pick, 10 top players. So Thibodeau's on there. Darius Slayton was Gettleman draft.
That was definitely Gettleman, yep.
Illuminor.
3 for 6. That's here.
Shane free agency. Right. Tyrone Tracy, who, by the way, is
good
a
pick
stud.
Good pick. He is terrific.
You see him crying, he fumbled yesterday in overtime, obviously. He was on the sideline, head down, basically praying, like, please don't let this cost us. It did. He was emotional. I had to put the towel over his head.
He's a beast. He's a good player. And he cares. I'll take it.
That's exactly
nice.
Right. Love it. And by the way, it's not his fault. Yeah, he fumbled. That's not why the Giants lost the game. Shouldn't even have been to overtime. But Tracy is a stud. So Shane draft. And the last one, Wandell Robinson. Shane draft.
Yeah, it was definitely Shane. That was his first one, right?
That I'm not sure. I forget the exact
timeline.
Didn't
they pick him? Where did he go? To Kentucky, Wandell Robinson? Was he Kentucky?
I don't know, but he's been a good player for him.
Yeah, he's been okay.
Now, the big omission here, or not omission, but it's just like we don't have a quarterback. Like, that's the issue. That he hasn't, he didn't select his quarterback. And I guess you could say, well, he extended Daniel Jones. Yeah, but how much of that was him versus how much of that was ownership? And I would think that it's at the very least 50-50, if not 80-20 or 60-40, whatever percentage, leaning in favor of ownership, making him extend Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to judge. I don't think Joe Shane has done a bad job. I mean, he hasn't been great, but it's year three. Like, can you really evaluate a general manager and all his draft picks in two and a half years on the job?
No, you can't. I think that's a little bit quick, unless it's just colossal gaffe, and it's not that for Shane. It's some hits in there. We just went through some of the names there. Whether it's drafting or trading for whatever it might be, or just signing off a free agency. I think that the only thing that complicates this is, all right, they're not going to win many games this year. Last year was rough. This year is rougher. You know, you're going to probably, hopefully, next year starting a rookie. Next year is going to be rough. Like, it just kicks it down the road. I'm not saying that it can't, boy, but it requires patience that we usually don't have here. Like, that's an inordinate amount of patience.
And nor have the owners had patience before.
But I think they're trying to break that cycle. I think they're hell-bent on breaking that.
Which I still think would be the right thing. All right.